T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Shower, shave, and coffee, it's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's would you rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today, it's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love your dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning, happy Monday to you, the 18th of November, 2019. Dusty Hara, Cam Cleland, producer Buck with us. Mr. Cleland, how are you, sir?
Hey, what's up?
What's up? Good weekend?
Weekends are always great there when you go. Get a chance to...
Yeah?
Hold on. Okay. I totally lost.
Your life is not ready yet?
No, I wasn't ready if I had to pause in my brain.
It's okay.
Get rid of the brain pause.
It's okay.
Life's always good when you get a chance to play. When play football, I didn't get a chance to play. But watch football, enjoy football, and be and live.
All things football.
You asked. I mean, I just gave you the real answer. But weekends are... What do we do on weekends anymore other than just absorb football to the point where basketball doesn't matter, but it's important, slightly important. I saw a LeBron-Kobe thing. It's like, it's such a pleasure to play in front of LeBron or Kobe. What was that?
Does he really mean that?
What was that?
Oh, I mean, you got to kiss the ring.
I understand that. I've never seen that. You know, we never came back and sat at home court ever at the United Center. Michael Jordan. Ever. He never, ever came back and just sat there and said, please come over and kiss my ring.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Well,
only in the Lakers do they do that.
I mean,
they don't do that anywhere else.
Well, I mean, they just gave Magic Johnson a role.
It's not like Clyde Drexler showing up just, here, please kiss my ring.
I think
at any point in time, nobody's doing that other than in L.A.
Yeah. I think it's got to be pretty, there's got to be a certain confluence of events.
Never did that. Kareem didn't do it.
Well, he didn't like the spotlight.
No, yeah, no, he was antisocial a little bit, but
Kobe
still
lives in L.A.
Yeah.
And he's still around. Like, Michael, once he was done in Chicago, he left. He was back in North Carolina again. But, I mean, you see players that come back and are ambassadors, you know, like Jerome was here for a lot of years in Portland.
Oh, yeah, Jerome's a great man.
Terry Porter was before he got the UP head coaching job. You know, the quote-unquote ambassador. Charles Oakley before he fought James Dolan. James Dolan, and James Dolan wanted to, you know, ban him from Madison Square Garden. You see it kind of.
Which team does the best?
The Lakers go overboard with it. I 100%
agree. I think
agree.
The Lakers do it. I was just trying to think of teams that do really good jobs with their legends. When I think of that, I think of, this is massively biased, but I think the 49ers do it as good as anybody with their
That's
legends.
That's true.
Maybe it's because they have really good legends.
Well, they also have statues for all of them.
Well, they do. And did you see who damaged? Did you see the guy damage the Joe Montana face mask?
Ripped the face mask right off of Joe.
He's going to do some time.
It's like the guy who stole the bat from Ken Griffey Jr.
That guy's going to do some time.
He is.
Gonna,
he should do some damage.
He's going to go to jail for that, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no patience for that down there at Levi Stadium.
No, that's
dare
like
touch
a,
touchdown.
A felony. In
and you know who
Santa
else?
Clara.
Who else does a good job? And it's a little bit unfair because they have so many legends. But the Yankees, they have a whole old timers day. I mean, there's a day during the season where the guys go out and like play a softball game against each other.
Yeah, my great grandfather played for the Yankees, and they'd roll him out there when he was like super old. And it doesn't matter if you
old?
Like when he was like in his 70s.
Oh, I don't consider that super old. I consider like 80s super old. But
well, I mean, you're
I
talking
70-year-olds playing hardball baseball. I see them in the old man leagues.
I mean, that's pretty old to be out there like fielding a grounder or whatever. But he would just like go and sit in the dugout and stuff.
Hey, old is just a mindset, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
But to the point, though, the Yankees, he was no big deal. The Yankees will do it. They bring in for those old timer games.
Yeah.
Cup of coffee, or if you were like a main piece, everybody's there. They do a great job with that. They baseball do. Kind of does a probably does the best job of revering their
I don't know.
Players.
I'm gonna really. I think football does a really good job. I love watching like the old Buffalo Bills guys when they come back, or I'm trying to think of legendary teams when they come back of guys. We you know that'd be a fun game. Is all 32 teams the greatest legend out of each team?
There's going to be some really hard ones. Like, what
you
do you
gotta
do?
You got just
for,
one. You only can pick one.
Like, what do you do for
Barry
San
Sanders,
Francisco, Dallas?
Barry Sanders, Detroit.
See,
that's it.
Easy.
I know, but it's easy, but you could say Megatron.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Think of how hard it is for San Francisco, Dallas, Pittsburgh.
I don't think it's easy. I think it's
Green
easy for
Bay.
San Francisco.
You think it is?
I think
Joe?
Wait, so are you going Joe or Jerry?
No, it's Jerry Rice.
Well, see, I think
it is. I love Joe. It's Jerry Rice.
He left?
It's Jerry Rice.
See, Jerry Rice is the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time, the best receiver to ever play. But I think Francisco would think that
more
Joe
personable?
Is kind of the figurehead of that team.
Yeah.
You know?
Figurehead. That's called false leadership.
Well, you're calling Jerry Rice the real guy, so you may be right.
Joe might be a little more this point. It was always Steve Largent for me. Now it's not even close. It's Russell Wilson, and he's still playing.
Like, when we think of the greatest teams of all time, why isn't the 94-95 Niners team mentioned like as one of the greatest all time? Think of the guys that were on that.
That team
Steve Young, Jerry Rice, Ken Norton Jr., Gary Plummer,
because they stole
Deion
them all.
Sanders,
because they stole them all from the 92 Cowboys. That's why I'm not.
I know, that's why I don't.
Because Charles Haley, I get them all because they stole them.
Collection of talent, though.
Entire secondary went to the Pro Bowl. They had Eric Davis, Deion Sanders, and then they had Tim McDonald and Merton Hanks.
And
I will argue
the
92 Cowboys are better than the 94 49ers.
You know the tight end on that team, Brent Jones.
I was thinking Jay Novacek, but that
Brent Jones. Well, he was on the 92 Cowboys. But no, they had like that collection of talent. You just sit there and you're like, oh my gosh.
You already say Ricky Waters? He was the running back too.
Yeah. I mean, they were good, really good.
Yeah, that was good.
So
they're solid.
And that's 49ers talk.
The obscure teams. That'd be tough. Like Carolina. Who would you pick? Jacksonville. The greatest Jacksonville Jaguar of all time.
Okay.
Tough teams of that. Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay,
who would you
this
pick as the greatest Kansas City Chief?
Kansas City Chief?
Of all time.
Oh, Derek Brooks.
Priest
Derek
Holmes?
Thomas?
Priest Holmes.
Did he win the MVP? Set the touchdown record, right? Before Sean Alexander broke
it? Well, of course, it's Patrick Mahomes because we're not going to be reactionary.
Not going to be totally reactionary.
Wait, but okay, this may sound reactionary, but like, are you going Julius Peppers or are you going Christian McCaffrey for the Panthers?
Or Cam Newton, who won an MVP and took him to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I still think it's either Julius Peppers or.
I'm going to take you guys.
I'm going to go to Kerry Collins.
Oh, Tim Biakabutuka. Oh, man. Okay, 55305. That is the Betta You Today.
Jake DeLome.
Jake DeLome.
Steve Smith.
Raging
it probably
Cajun.
Is Steve Smith.
It probably is.
Jake DeLome spoke like a water boy.
Did he really?
Oh, God, he was straight Cajun.
I like that. Okay, got a lot to get to on today's show. It is Statement Monday. Get your statements in, 55305. Who made a statement over the weekend? A lot of football going on. There's a lot of good going on in the NFL and college football. There's some bad going on, and there's ugly. And the ugly is, man, Tua going down is...
That's
going
to change college football forever.
My God.
That injury.
That was just one of those things where it was a gut punch to see. Mm-hmm. it looked like a normal play. He goes down and boom, all of a sudden, like that, how a career and how it can change forever.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it from a quarterback at the highest level. When I think about somebody that would have been probably the first or second or even third pick overall, I don't think I've ever seen that. We've seen running backs do that. I've never seen a quarterback completely have it's, I don't want to say it, but it's the Bo Jackson injury.
Yep.
And it's devastating.
It is. It absolutely is. So that's the ugly. The good, though, how about the local teams over the weekend? The Oregon Ducks dropped the hammer on Arizona with a 34-6 convincing win over the Wildcats.
What
now,
a snorefest that was.
Wasn't it, though?
Holy moly, Arizona is bad.
But
that was a 28.5-point line and never felt in jeopardy.
But also, you have that the two teams, and the Pac-12 has flirted with this for so long,
yeah,
where the top two teams have not been impressive, right? Oregon and Utah both are punishing inferior teams.
Doing a great job at the top, and they should be.
And then the Oregon State Beavers and Jonathan Smith are one win away from being bowl eligible.
How about the Cougs, too?
Hey, but didn't we all expect that to happen?
The
from
Cougs
Arizona,
to Stanford?
Wait, hold on, the Arizona State?
Oh, no, to go for two?
Because
you play to win the game.
Oh, you were waiting for that one, weren't you?
You did. I mean,
well, he's not going. Of course, Herm Edwards is going to do that. You go for two. He's, go for two. I don't mind going for two.
Okay,
I like the call.
And then as you started the Cougs, my God,
they stomped a hole right through Stanford. Stanford's Who is Stanford
bad.
Right now?
They're bad. They're bad.
I mean, Washington State played fantastic.
Yeah,
hats
they did.
Off to them.
Yeah, they did. But can't both things be true?
Yeah. You know who just suddenly turned really bad? But Cal's bad. Cal's dreadful. I think their whole offensive staff is going to get gutted.
Isn't that a Jekyll and Hyde, if you've ever seen it, with
what
Cal?
What a crazy beginning to a season and an end of a season. I think Bo Baldwin and that entire crew is going to be – they're in for – something's going to happen down there on offense because they've gone dreadful.
All right, so we got a lot of Pac-12 to get to. That's a great point about Cal. Do they need to make a change there? Statement Monday, get them going. 55305, the Better You Today text line. Also, mishaps, miscues, and blunders from the weekend in football are wide right at 7:15. Case of the Monday, 7:45. What's grinding your gears? But where we start?
I remember it was just like yesterday.
On this date in sports history, 1990, oh, how the game has changed in the last 29 years. Art Monk on this date became only the third player in NFL history to amass 700 receptions in a career. Okay? That list is now up to 49.
Yeah, it's a different game.
It is a different game. There are five active players over 700. And how about this? Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints, he is on pace for an insane year. He's on pace for 150 catches.
Well, that's not too far off for Marvin Harrison's 143.
Well, he's on pace to break
it. Well, right, but that's what I'm saying. How hard is that? And you think about that, and Marvin Harrison did that 15 years ago?
Yeah. And
you're going with and still hold up?
If he does continue this pace and gets to 150, that would be 471 receptions in just 4 years for Michael Thomas. My God.
More on Marvin Harrison. He only lined up on one side of the field.
Yeah.
One side. He only played one side.
That's crazy.
Never, ever, ever played the other side of the field.
Hey, whatever happened to those gun charges against... Remember when that whole thing happened and then it just stopped? At his car wash? Do you remember that?
I don't.
And then you don't remember that?
He was such a quiet, private person. People talked about how there was the Colts
quiet.
Marvin Harrison and there was his like hometown Marvin Harrison. They kept them separate. No one knew anything about his personal
life.
Very
aloof. Extremely aloof.
That was like a thing where like somebody was shot at one of Marvin Harrison's car washes. And then it was just like, yep, that's gone. Must not have found anything. All right, where we start? In the NFL, the Ravens may be flexing their muscles as the most dominant team, and the 49ers and Vikings mount some incredible comebacks. This is Dusty and Cam on The Fan. All right, week 12 in the NFL wraps up, or week 11, rather, wraps up in the NFL tonight down in Mexico City, Estadio Azteca, between the Chiefs and Chargers. They did not have a Shakira concert a couple of weeks ago, so the field is in play. Everything will be fine. and they will play that game at Estadio Azteca, where they're expecting Patrick Mahomes to throw the ball 100 yards in the air. That's a thing. But you last this past weekend in the NFL, it started Thursday. We had a blowout of the Browns and Steelers, and then starting with Myles Garrett banging a helmet on Mason Rudolph's head. And then we got an even wilder weekend as the games actually started playing out. And dare I say, the game that a lot of people were looking at as going to be two Goliaths kind of trading blows was the most boring game of the weekend. The Baltimore Ravens are flexing their muscles as the best team in the National Football League right now. 41-7, they beat the Houston Texans. And I can't figure out how this team lost to the Cleveland Browns earlier in the year, but find me a team that has more impressive wins than Baltimore's wins on the road in Seattle, a pounding at home of the Patriots, and then beating the Texans 41-7 the way they did. The Ravens are dominating right now.
So let me update my power rankings to this week, because you got to use your eyeballs. Every weekend you reevaluate. Mm-hmm. You have to look at what makes sense for football, because week in and week out teams have to show. When you compete against a very good football team, which is Houston, is not weak, but you watch some of these other teams. So coming in at number five, it's Minnesota, because I really liked what they were able to do, and they're playing good football right now. And certainly you can't throw out the fact that two divisions in the NFL are hands down better than everybody else. That is the NFC North and also the NFC West. Those two divisions are clearly the best two divisions in football, and it's not close. Coming in at number four, then that makes Green Bay just a tick a little bit better. Number four, I give it to Seattle Seahawks. They're going to bump down because they didn't play, and certainly you rest, you can't really give credit to there. Coming in at number three, I give the New England Patriots, which they played a very good football game versus the Philadelphia Eagles, but their offense is lacking. That is true. And Rob Gronkowski's coming out with a huge announcement on Tuesday. I don't know if you saw that announcement. I don't know what that means, but it just more means that he's going to represent more companies, probably. Number two, I'm going to put in the Baltimore Ravens, because they are legit. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to use your eyes and see that a team is getting better when they dominate and put up that kind of points. And certainly, I hold number one to the San Francisco 49ers, because they still found a way to win. Although Arizona is a very good football team in the future, they don't have enough talent around them. They're fun to watch. And Cliff Kingsbury is working. And it's working because Kyler Murray, and that's it.
Yeah, he is.
Those are my updated power rankings.
Well, I'm glad you've come around to my New England Patriots not being the number one team.
Well, every time the thing is about what's fun about ranking or putting it's your own personal feeling.
No, it is.
But you have to be able to not just evaluate when you watch football. You have to see it and see a team. Not only, there's no way that the Baltimore Ravens right now, there's no way that you can tell me at any point in time right now that teams know how to defend them. They come up with a plan, they have an idea, but there is a scheme and a system that everybody's trying to figure out. Now, will it catch up eventually? Certainly. The NFL's always proven they can do it.
Doesn't that make it even more wild, though, that the Cleveland Browns were able to beat them? And not just beat them, but beat them 40-25.
No, because this is how the league works.
They just stomped them.
There are teams that beat the crap out of the Patriots every year. Mm-hmm. Tennessee whooped them last year. Teams win. This is part of the league. There's anomalies. Yep. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah,
you'll get one of these weird games. But if you played a series of football games, there's no way you could tell me that. You just look at organizations. You can just see it on paper.
Well, and then you see it in, you mentioned the number one team on both of our lists are the San Francisco 49ers. And the Niners, boy, they fell into a 16-0 hole. But the charge that they went on and they just kind of figured it out. And they did exactly what they needed to do to kind of pull off a win. They put it on Jimmy Garoppolo's back, and they erased a 16-0 deficit. Now, he had two horrific red zone interceptions. One of them was really bad. But you sit there and you go, can Jimmy G win you a game? Can he bring you back? He goes 34 for 45 for 424 yards and four touchdowns, and he was dynamite in that final stretch. When they needed to score, Jimmy Garoppolo was able to do it. Does it kind of change anything in your mind that they said, all right, Jimmy, we need you to go win a game, and he could finally do it?
No, not at all, because that's exactly what you're asking from your quarterback. But he's, again, there's a guy that only has, we're on his 19th start. We're looking at games overall. He's going to have to get better and better each part of the season. No matter how you look at it, he's around a great offense, and he's going to throw picks sometimes. Some of that stuff happens. But it really is that how do the gamblers feel from the Arizona that took Arizona to cover?
Well, that's one of the all-time bad beats.
Oh, my God, that's a bad beat.
Cardinals were... It was no. It was minus. It was San Francisco minus 10. It was a push.
Was it depends when you bet it. It was 11. It was 10.5, and it was 10 at various times during the week. So people could have been on all sides of it.
Well, and this is where, remember, the NFL got rid of the rule that you have to come on and do the point after. If you got that at 10.5 or 11, the Niners favored by 10.5 or 11,
done.
The fact that they don't do the extra point after time expires anymore, it means that you lost out on a push or a win. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people got the push because they were betting on the Niners. And I heard that the casinos were complaining because it was like, that's an all-time bad beat. When, like, conventional wisdom tells you as a defender, don't return that ball. Fall on it. Right? It's just a get the game over with.
Yeah, but your natural instinct is, oh, I could pad some stats.
Yeah.
Those poor casinos, what are they going to do?
Yeah, what are they going to do? Yeah, there's going to be a wing of the Venetian that isn't going to be able to get new carpet next week because of that game right there. So you had one monumental comeback in the 49ers, and then the Vikings absolutely melted down. The Broncos absolutely melted down in the second half there. They were up 20-0. 20-0 over the Vikings.
I feel for the Broncos. I feel for the Broncos because every game from the Raiders, one score. Bears, one score. Green Bay Packers, 1.5. Jaguars, one score. Chargers, one score. Again, the Colts, one score. Browns, one score. It's a 7-point league. It's a one-score league. But these one-possession games that the Broncos have lost an incredible amount of one-possession games.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. And isn't that come down to quarterback and coaching?
Of course it does.
Because you got Brandon Allen, and Joe Flacco's done. I don't think Joe Flacco would have done it for you either. But then Vic Fangio as the head coach, it has not gone as smooth as people wanted. There have been miscues and missteps along the way that have cost them. It's kind of a little bit of everything for the Denver Broncos right
in
now.
In one possession games, your all-time equalizer is experience at the quarterback position because you're going to have the football, you're going to have a chance to win, and that makes the difference.
Still to come, we'll talk about the NFL. The Rams find Todd Gurley, and the Bears have a Mitch problem on their hands. But coming up next, it is Monday, which means Statement Monday. The weekend in football is in the rearview mirror. Statements you have made over the weekend. Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Come out to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us on the Better You Today text line at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
55305, the Better You Today text line. Weekend of football in the rear view mirror. We had week 12 in college football, week 11 in the National Football League, which wraps up tonight with Monday Night Football, Chiefs Chargers in Mexico City. But Statement Monday, coming out of the weekend, what did we learn from the weekend in football?
I learned something that the stat of the weekend for me is this, and it comes from one quarterback in the NFL. Have you guessed? This one quarterback has more interceptions than Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Jacoby Brissett, Marcus Mariota, Teddy Bridgewater, Mitchell Trubisky combined. Who is that quarterback, Mr. Dusty Hera?
It's either Baker or Jameis.
It is Jameis Winston.
Yeah, he had an ugly one again.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know how to protect the football at all whatsoever?
He threw.
Ugh.
It looked like a corner route that he was throwing, and Mike Evans was running a curl.
My God.
And he threw that thing. I mean, there's no way Evans could have made a play on
Nothing
it.
Nothing will drive me more insane than turnovers and reds, and especially interceptions, just blatantly idiotic interceptions. Jameis Winston, I have no idea what football game he's playing sometimes. It is baffling to me.
You know, but a couple weeks
ago, about seeing ghosts. I think he's, I don't know what he's seen.
Well, he needs glasses, but he says he doesn't, like, his eyesight is bad. Have you ever noticed he squints a lot?
Wait a minute. He doesn't wear contacts?
He squints a lot. Have you noticed that?
I'm going to need to delve into that.
Squinting?
We're going to need, quarterbacks should have minimum 2015 vision. That's just my
advice. Really?
Oh, minimum.
Really?
No question at all. Just ask scouts.
Yeah.
Just ask general managers when they check your vision numbers.
Yeah. Here's an article from the Jacksonville Times that says Florida State quarterback Jameis Winston is always squinting because he's not wearing his glasses. He was dubbed Jameis Squinston.
I'm sure he's wearing his contacts. He has to be.
He says he does not wear his contacts.
During the football game?
So, yeah.
Well, this is starting to explain it.
I'll let you know. It says that he doesn't, when he was wearing them in this article, it says here that he doesn't wear them at all times, but he's wearing, this is back when he's at Florida State.
Okay.
He's wearing them in games
now.
He
better be wearing
them. It says, I squint a lot. And it looks like I'm squinting. I just do that. It's the habit. And when asked why he's not wearing his contacts, he said, I asked them earlier today when I was wearing them in the training room. He said, pick something out. I'll let you know what I can see. I just pick anything out in the back of the room for glasses. So I don't know. He's wearing them. You can't be a quarterback in the NFL and not have
absolutely
glasses.
Absolutely not.
But Jameis Winston was bad. Now, how many quarterbacks were on that list?
On that list completely. Hold on. Pause.
Yes.
I lost it.
Oh, there's about 10, including Mariota, who's been benched.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That is 7 quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Jacoby Brissett, Marcus Mariota, Teddy Bridgewater, and Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
All of those guys combined. Now, it's not like Mitchell Trubisky is one of the best, and certainly Teddy Bridgewater had his small run, but Jacoby Brissett and Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes,
yeah,
the attempts that those guys have had, it's brutal.
Yeah. And then here in this story right here, it says he wears contacts off the field, but he said Wednesday, this is back in 2013 again, it's uncomfortable to wear them while he's playing. So
I sure hope he's changed that, or maybe he's got LASIK.
I think the NFL has got, they forced him to change that
one. I'm not kidding when I tell you that quarterbacks have to have the kind of vision.
Yeah.
That everybody that's scouting, they mean to make sure you have a certain kind of vision.
Wow. Okay, 55305, statement money. That is a good one. Here's a statement. Jonathan Smith playing with house money these next 2 weeks will be lots of fun. I've got a statement on Jonathan Smith. I said it a couple of weeks ago. I believe it now. He has done the best coaching job in the Pac-12. Does that mean I believe he will win the coach of the year in the Pac-12? No. That will go to Mario Cristobal or Kyle Whittingham. But Jonathan Smith has done a phenomenal job in just 2 short years of turning the whole mentality of Oregon State football around.
Yeah, I look at it one of two ways. First of all, I expected Jonathan Smith to do this. I think it was probably more, I'm flipping it on the maybe it was the disrespectful side to say this guy couldn't have turned this thing around because it was a toilet. It was a bottom. Gary Anderson quit. The infighting of the coaches, the players left. This was dreadful. Where else was this place going to go? The Beavers were going to go up. Jonathan Smith is a stable, intelligent, he's one of the best offensive minds in the conference. It's clear. And he's going to right the ship. So to sit there and say of course he was, because he's going to do better.
Well, but here's where it is better, is that they are second in the Pac-12 North. Think of everything that has happened in the Pac-12. Yeah. Like, I agree with you. There was only up that you could go from there. But right now, here we are with 2 games left in the regular season of the Pac-12. They're by themselves in second place in the Pac-12 North.
Right.
And a game away from bowl eligibility.
Are they going to knock out Washington State? Sure, think that's going to be a good football game. Would I favor them over Washington State? I would not right now.
Yeah.
I would not. But do you believe, if you were looking at this right now, do you believe Oregon State is the second best team in the Pac-12 North?
No, and that's why Jonathan Smith is doing such a great job.
According to records, it says it. But do you believe matchup
You are what your record is, Bill Barcells.
I understand that. But according who's behind him, the Huskies are behind him.
Yeah.
The Stanford is behind him.
Yep.
Washington State.
Yes.
And Cal.
Yes. Yeah. What I'm saying right now.
But none of those teams, lost to Stanford, lost to Washington. Okay, who else? Cal?
Yes, they beat Cal.
Yeah, and still have Washington State to play.
Yes, and Oregon, obviously. Yeah. I mean.
So we'll know more in a couple, but I think 6 wins, you got to get 1 of 2. Which game is it? It's got to be this game.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody, you're going to get your better chance against this game.
Would you hear Max Borgi?
No, I didn't hear Max Borgi. What did he say?
Washington State running back guaranteed a win and then walked off on his press conference.
Well, they need a win also to get to be bowl eligible.
Well, yeah.
So it's a bowl eligible fight.
And that's what Borgi said when he was leaving his press conference on Saturday after the game. Max Borgi just stood up there and said, "Even we're going to need one win for bowl eligibility. We've just got to carry it into next week, and we have to have a great week of practice and prepare for Oregon State because we're going bowling, guaranteeing that because we're going to win next week. See you later."
I guess the confidence is
hit
flowing.
The table, got up, and walked out. Boom. So, yeah, but I think it has been amazing what the Beavs have been able to do this year, and I think that also has to do with, you know, Stanford taking a monumental step back, Cal in their inability offensively to move forward, and then Washington has had taken their lumps and had their struggles this year.
Yep.
But that just goes to show you that it's not easy to win in the Pac-12, and they have done a great job of putting themselves in a position where they could be bowl eligible.
Don't tell Utah it's not easy.
What do you mean?
Was that what they did to UCLA? Remember UCLA controlled their own destiny at one? Well, UCLA. Whoops.
It'd be 42-3, Bob.
UCLA coming off a bye.
Off a bye.
Like
they looked asleep.
Yeah. And do we kind of feel like that's who UCLA is, though?
Yes, but I think Utah, that was one of those games where you expected them to play very well. They played above expectations.
It kind of seemed like this week was a take-notice week of the Pac-12.
It was very good.
Because of the fact that Oregon wins 34-6, they don't allow a touchdown. I mean, the top two teams in the Pac-12 did not allow a touchdown. Utah wins 42-3, and they dominate while you see it's hard to win late in the year. November's a tricky month for teams. You have teams getting close games, teams stubbing their toe, like a Minnesota on the road at Iowa, which was a great football game. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to win late in the year, and Oregon and Utah put their foot on the gas.
One thing about this conference, I will say, is that the hype train on this conference is not there. So I think that the last 2 years being left out of it has gave a little bit more of a subdued mindset heading in towards the end of the season, because the hype and the pressure of the conference is so second fiddle, third fiddle, fourth, that the Big 12 and the Big 10 sat there and Minnesota got all the hype. P.J. Fleck was all over ESPN. Look at the next game with P.J. How they did a great job. Everybody's been thinking about the Pac-12 as an afterthought. It's like, oh, that good little conference over there. So the hype train has been very hard to get on in this kind. And so teams are just holding fort. Utah holding fort. Oregon holding fort.
It kind of seems, though, that with a weekend like this and you have some upheaval, there's only three undefeateds left in the FBS right now, which is an incredible stat right there. But with Oregon sitting at 6-7, people do their checklist of, how did the top teams do? And then you see if there's some close games, you look for that margin of victory. And it's not like this is what the playoff committee is doing, but if you're talking national perception, having your top two teams blow other teams out, whether they're in your conference or not, is a good thing because people will take a little bit of notice.
Remember when
Wake
Forest was supposed to be good and give Clemson a run?
Yeah. Yeah. That didn't work out.
That did not happen this weekend.
No.
Didn't the texter say that they were going to beat Clemson by two touchdowns?
Yeah, I wrote that down.
Remember when Texas was going to be a monster this year?
Yep. That was my patient zero.
Yeah, very good.
It was my patient zero this year, and Texas got beat by Iowa State.
Remember when Baylor was going to be the next team and they were going to cause a huge problem with the college football playoff?
Hear from them in wide right coming up at 7:15, because they were up 28-3 over Oklahoma.
Remember when we were waiting for Auburn to be the saving grace of the Pac-12 to help get into the conference and the college football playoff championships?
That didn't go well.
Yeah.
That did not go well. 55305, Statement Monday. Send us yours. It is 6:43 on The Fan. 6:48 on your Monday morning. Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. Statement Monday. I saw this statement a lot, and it came through earlier. Tua should not have been in the game. Tua Tagovailoa going down, Alabama's quarterback with a dislocated hip. In the second quarter of a 35-3 football game, and immediately people are like, why was he even in? You're up 35-3.
It's the same because players and coaches don't think that everybody's going to get hurt.
No, you don't play in fear.
Well, first of all, when you have a major injury like that and you're dealing with those injuries, your body's got to compensate somewhere, some way. Mm-hmm. not saying that that hip injury, that those are freak injuries. You can't predict that. I mean, nobody knew that Yusuf Nurkic was going to snap his leg in half. Yusuf shouldn't have been playing. This is part of what sports is. You never know. You're always one play away. You don't walk out there ever thinking about being injured. Nobody does.
Yeah.
And it happens. But the statement that I will make is that this injury will change college football for the future. Now, you could say it in a positive or negative way, but in the overreaction of sports, this will change college football for the history. It will never be the same. Players are now going to start thinking about not only just sitting out a Sun Bowl or sitting out a bad bowl game, they're going to start thinking about sitting out major games, load management in college football. Not just like a Nick Bosa who says, I'm done for the year. We're talking national championship runs. If you're a Trevor Lawrence, you're some of these guys could be number one overall pick. You think turning down $25 million? That's the number one pick, $27 million. Do you think that's worth it?
But with what you just said, I mean,
I'm not saying that I would do it.
Right, but with what you just said, I understand that, and like I think that was my first reaction too. Is oh boy, you know, one of my first thoughts was, you know, what sucks about Tua going down is the fact that he will never see a cent of the money that he made for Alabama, you know, with name, image, likeness, and all that. And what if his career is over? But you said it to start this whole conversation in that. Players and coaches don't think like that. They don't think that catastrophic injury is going to be it. And even after the Tua injury happened, Trevor Lawrence played deep into the third quarter of a blowout. Justin Herbert was taking snaps in the fourth quarter against Arizona. I know that Oregon fans, what is he doing in? Can't you learn anything from Tua? The whole Tua thing was, you're going to play your quarterback for the first half if he's good to go.
Yeah.
For the first half, period. You know, I think Nick Saban didn't do himself any favors by acknowledging the fact that they talked about pulling him, but they wanted to give him work in the 2-minute drill. Fact of the matter is that you play the guy for the half.
Right. So Tua will never have a pension, just like Rex Chapman. It was a really good tweet. He said, as Tua's carted off the field, remember he has no pension, no retirement, etc. And then to bounce back some as well, he'll have a college degree. Potentially, that's not bad. It's nice to have a college degree. My other thought was no medical coverage ever for the rest of his life. And for that injury, and that I've said this before, is that nobody's asking these college players to have full medical coverage the rest of their life for free. But Tua is now going to be, he's going to need hip replacement probably before the age of 40. Mm-hmm. The school will never pay for that. No subsidy. Never. He was hurt during quote unquote not working. Not working. Now, you hurt anywhere else in the world. If you're hurting your business, not only can you collect unemployment, but disability for the rest of your life because of that injury you got hurt on the job, there isn't anything. So anytime you get hurt as a college athlete, once your collegiate days are done, you are not compensated ever again for those injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even buy insurance on that. Insurance companies will look at you and go, you've had what, college football injuries? Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, we're not covering that ever. So that is one of the major issues and a sticking point for that.
Well, pre-existing conditions, man. Yes. Good thing that they can't sit there and just decline you right off the bat anymore, because that's what used to happen to guys that would get hurt like that.
Always.
This text, I believe the one-loss Pac-12 team will be left out of the college football playoff regardless of what happens. That's a statement right there. That is a statement right there. If you look at the top four in the AP top 25, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson go 1-2-3. Fourth is Georgia after their 21-14 win over Auburn. Then fifth is Alabama, followed by Oregon and Utah 6-7. One lost team going to be left out is that person's thought right there.
Man, it's a statement.
Here's my thing about it is that as long as LSU beats Georgia in the SEC championship game,
yeah, you'll be fine.
And Oregon and Utah continue to win out,
mm-hmm.
What will happen is that, you know, you're going to have a little bit of cannibalization above you, and then will there be a better win in that final weekend than 6-7 or 7-6?
Well, Alabama doesn't have a big win left on their schedule.
See?
And that's the only – and they lost Tua for the year. That was the game changer.
And one of the hard parts,
that was it.
One of the hard parts when you look down Oregon or Utah's schedule is you go, where's the quality win? Where's the quality win?
Well, they still have the Iron Bowl, and I'm not going to tell you that that's not a big time game. Of course, it's going to be a big time game in the national perspective because you're going to pump it up like this is the Alabama statement game. They have a chance to win and beat Bo Nix.
But the situation is that Oregon's win will be better and it'll be more recent.
Are we sure that they're going to win?
or Utah.
Yeah, or okay? Utah. Utah or Oregon will have that big-time win in a championship game.
That will be over a higher-ranked team on a weekend where Alabama, in all likelihood, and barring something crazy, they won't be playing. Okay,
I'm really excited about they'll this be at home. 12 championship game. I'm super excited.
Book your tickets December 6th.
Yeah.
December 6th in Levi Stadium. The Buck
better
and I
stay, were, everybody start getting on the board. Let's go. You know, drive down.
There is something that Buck and I were talking about.
Oh, you want to go? Company spotting us?
No. There is something Can Buck we? And I were talking about.
I went last year on my own dime.
Yeah. During the post-game scoreboard show that is very different from this year to years past in the Pac-12. We'll get to that. Plus, hot and cool next hour, wide right, the mishaps, miscues, and blunders from the weekend of football, and we have our Case of the Mondays. It is 6:55 on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.